What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
10 days in, every person and institution with a public voice in the Nancy Guthrie case is communicating, and the contradictions between them are piling up. The Guthrie family has released four escalating videos, the most recent directly addressing the alleged kidnapper. The FBI says there's no verified communication between a confirmed kidnapper and the family. The sheriff declared the doorbell footage was permanently unrecoverable. 10 days later, the FBI produces it with some sort of back-end data that it somehow got. There's a lot of questions, not a lot of answers. A lot of people's opinions are out there in this, and that is just what it is. At the end of the day, opinions don't necessarily help us find Nancy Guthrie, but it does help. I don't know if help is the right word, but it does frame this situation in everyone's mind in very unique ways. Savannah Guthrie and her siblings, they've released those public videos in response to the ransom notes that have been sent out, some not even really described as ransom notes, more so messaging. Let me ask you this, Robin, on their responses, and obviously all of those deadlines have passed. Who knows if another one pops up between now and then, or anybody seeing this. The responses that they were giving, was it given because the FBI or somebody really had something else on the back end that was pointing to those being very credible, that the family gave it that sort of weight? Or was it more so, we got nothing to lose? Why don't we do this? Because does it hurt anything if we put this out there? No. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
So typically the families will be the driving force on that. And they've said it, you know, the sheriff, when he keeps opening his mouth, you know,
when he's not at the game.
I know. So families are driving that. And in, again, my hypothesis and conjecture on this, they crafted those messages. They wanted to put them out because, hey, and I agree with it too, because you just don't know. It's an outlier of a possibility that they're real, but at the same time, you don't want to take that chance. And so good job on putting those out there, because it did bring the most important thing. Now, here's another real critical reason why those messages were so good, and a good reason to put them out there, because they weren't just targeted at the potential kidnappers. They're targeted at the entire country and world to we need help finding our mom.
Yeah.
And they each message was so well done, because typically what happens is that the family will put together very, very organically, sincerely, and truly from their heart of the things they want to say. And then they invite, it's not pressed upon them. They invite, because they're offered, hey, we have a resource if you want to kind of tweak this messaging. Here's some cause and effect that we've seen behaviorally that can actually target this a little bit better. Is that something you're comfortable with? And they and they probably invited them to do that. So each one of those messages, I think, served a very good purpose of what it was trying to do. And now what we don't know is, because it's one-way communication, and it's either one-way communication with the real person or with a bunch of frauds. I was 50-50 at the beginning on whether it was real kidnapping, because because again, it's they're not doing it the way, if they're really focused on getting money in exchange for Nancy, they're going about it completely backwards, wrong. And as time passed more on this, I think it was completely fraud.
I want to get your take on this. Some reporting that has come out in the last 24 hours talks about the sheriff's department believing that the kidnappers, as basically still being phrased, are in the Tucson area. And the reasoning behind that, according to this reporting, it's not our reporting, it's somebody else's reporting. And I there's so many outlets, honest to God, I can't remember exactly who it is. Right. I don't want to miscredit or credit somebody for this. Somebody's saying this, trust me, I was just reading it. The reasoning behind that, they believe the person's in the area, is because they reached out to local television stations.
Good point.
No, that's not a good point.
Why? How so?
I could go to any, if you want to send a less, are you like only going to know if there's a local television station in the area if you are living in the area?
I suppose you could look it up.
Yeah, of course you can look it up. In 2 seconds, I can tell you every television station in any city on the planet that you could go to and send ransom notes to. It doesn't mean you're in the general area. But that's how it was explained. I'm asking you, Robin, I'm hoping to God there's more reasoning behind that thought process that's being expressed verbally to media, that this is the reason why they think the person's in the area, because they sent messages to local TV stations and through their websites.
Maybe. So what one reason why, okay, so let's put ourselves, if it's someone like we saw on the front porch that is doing this, their familiarity with the area, if they are local, they might have an affiliation with it. I think that's probably the only stretch you're making, unless for some reason they were able to backtrack where the messages are coming from, which we heard they didn't.
Or you get an IP, and I can look like I'm coming here from Istanbul.
They said they matched their IPs.
Yeah, exactly. So, if you have a VPN, you know, you're not going to know.
In YTMZ, I mean, just the choices of the media outlets they used for exposure were really strange to me as well. And that's why it's another just stupid thing to me.
Yeah.
So if you're going for a national audience and you want exposure, I would send one message to Fox and one to CNN. You know, that's going to be you're going to cover the entire country with those two stations for anyone to watch.
I mean, TMZ is a great choice. But I guess if you're sending ransom notes, how often is it that they're sent to media, not directly to the families?
Never.
Never.
So remember, let's look at the intent. If the intent is to get money, you want a private dialogue where you can manipulate the family without anyone weighing in on this. Because the way the families respond is, oh my God, my loved one's in danger, and there's going to be a time pressure. And time pressure and proof of life is going to inspire someone to pay. That's why these things work. That's why the first red flag from the very get-go is they didn't send the message to the family, and there's no proof of life. There hasn't been one case where this is the method.
No. At the end of the day, I mean, my guts, I mean, who knows? But the fact that what's disturbing me about this being a story in the last 24 hours is the fact that there still seems to be a lot hanging on the idea that these messages have anything to do with Nancy Guthrie and her existence, that this is even being. And again, this could be behind the scenes. They're saying this because they're wanting attention to go over here from the public. And because that's going to open up the gates over here for us to do more work, and people aren't going to, we're not going to be disturbed while we're trying to work over here diligently to find Nancy. I don't know. That's the, we hope something competent is going on behind the curtain outlook on it. When in reality, you look at the track record of the sheriff's department, it's anything but. Let's talk about who's leading this and where the calls are coming from, because the reporting that I saw on this was claiming this was the sheriff's department saying it, a source from behind the scenes. And again, it's not my reporting. You got the FBI certainly involved. You have more resources involved beyond the sheriff's department. Thank God. So who's making the calls here? Like last night when they arrested, or they didn't arrest somebody, when they had a person of interest for questioning, which turned out to be absolutely nothing. Yeah. But they got the, you know, the hostage negotiation crews ready and everything, which good. I mean, be ready just in case. Turns out it was a nothing burger. But who's making these calls? Is this a conjunction thing? Is the sheriff's department making any calls in this shit show anymore? Or is it 100% FBI and the sheriff's department's along for the ride? Or some sort of combination of.
Here's who it should be if things are going normal. There will be one lead investigator, and that's a single point of contact, single point of success or failure. So, think of a wagon wheel. Mm-hmm. Center of the wagon wheel is the lead investigator. This is the main person making all the, and it's not the sheriff. You know, now, granted, the sheriff could usurp it. Anyone can try to usurp it. Depends on the strength and experience of the lead investigator, which I don't know who that is. Good, because they're too busy working to be mouthpiecing all off the place. And so you have the lead investigator, and then you have all the spokes coming off of them. And you have FBI, you have forensics, you have state, you have everyone off this. And so everything should be flown into that one lead investigator at the central hub that's trying to keep all this organized in their mind. They probably have co-case agents or co-investigators that are helping them with, and that have been delegated certain areas and responsibilities. But everything that goes in comes to that lead investigator for doing X, Y, and Z. Most likely, hopefully, a very experienced person with a lot of tenure that might not have experience doing this particular thing because this is not that common, but they have a lot of good experience managing large teams of people and resources coming in and knowing how to triage and prioritize what's coming in and flush things out and keeping themselves out of the media so they can do the righteous work that they're doing. When we see movement, when we see data, when we see things happening, it's not because the mouthpiece is doing it. It's because the workers on the ground are doing it. I see a decent amount of organization. Now, like, I know they're making a big deal of the hostage rescue team being there. They were on their way back from another part in the country. And when I was in the FBI, typically I was in under Louis Free, Mueller, Comey, and Ray before I retired. And especially under Mueller, we would always, anytime something happened in New York City or anywhere in the world, 9/11. I remember when the anthrax scare first happened in New York City after 9/11. Mm-hmm. We literally were told we have to be on site. We were sent out to show up in our suits to be on site. When ABC, I think it was ABC that actually had the anthrax scare, we were sent there just to show an FBI presence. We were doing nothing. I showed up in my suit to stand around ABC where it was supposedly anthrax. NYPD showed up in their Tyvek suits and the respirator gear, and they're there handling it right next to me. And I'm like, wow.
That's not nerve-wracking at all now, is it?
So a lot of times they throw people at things to show presence. The FBI's involved, blah, you know, but meanwhile,
didn't we have an anthrax suit in our mailroom, Stacey?
I think you're right. We did. We absolutely did.
I think I think every media entity in the country did at that moment, I don't know like what one anthrax suit does for a building of like 50 people, but it made you feel good.
You know what they did? You know, funny side story. Sorry. You know, they actually shut down the entire courthouse in New York City, Southern District of New York one day because there was white powder in the women's bathroom on the toilet seat. They thought
talcum
it was
powder, baby powder, for God's sake. And then we all get cancer from it. You know, remember
and
the lawsuits after
and
that?
And they sent us in our suits to collect the sample that they thought was anthrax.
You see, it's funny. You go to talcum powder, I'm like, oh, somebody's doing a line of coke off the toilet.
No. All the women in our chat, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Sorry for the side note and going down the rabbit hole, but that's so when you're seeing a large presence here, there's sometimes part of that presence is just for presence.
Yeah. That's the optics of this. There's all of that's at play. And especially because they're trying to consider as well, are they not? They're still, I'm assuming, probably trying to operate if somebody does have her and she is alive.
You want to be responsive.
What's going to make them respond? What's going to do something for that? And the answer to that equation is not necessarily the same thing that's going to make you or me or anybody watching this shit show respond the same way. It's going to be a very different carrot that's being hung out there on a stick of what they're going to respond to. But it's their job to try and figure out what that is going to be. And with what if we literally have no communication here. Let's just for a second take a look at everything that's happened and we take everything, all the noise out of this. Let's pretend there has been zero ransom notes. There's been none of that. Just she's missing. Mm-hmm. And it's been silence now for 12 days because the reality of this case is that's what's happened. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of noise. And if none of that means anything, that is exactly where we are sitting in reality. This has all been noise that's been sprinkled in and people saying her name. It doesn't mean it's actually part of the case itself. Mm-hmm. We're 11, 12 days in to a woman who was abducted from her home and there's zero signs of life and nobody's calling and actually saying, here's how you get her back or give us money.
Right. So if you boil it down to all that, what you have is a missing person with blood on the front step, and remove the ransom note side and all the extra noise. You have a potential homicide with a home invasion is what they're trying to research and figure out what happened.
Yeah. Which may be exactly what it is. There's so many questions and not a lot of answers. And this is why everyone tries to fill in the blanks. And we're in a very volatile moment where those blanks are being filled in with a lot of stuff. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying we don't know. And that's what's the most important thing is taking a breath, but being vigilant and being aware of what we're seeing and what's being said to us as this continues along. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. It's Not All About Me is your new book. It is out. And you have the giant sign available. We've been trying to do this for weeks now, and I keep forgetting that you have the giant version.
Yeah, there we go.
He's got a giant framed version of it.
Okay, from my publisher.
Reminds me of kindergarten now. And like the Dick and Jane books. You know, it's like see spot run. You know?
Seriously though, Robin, what are you going to do with that? Like 6 months from now, where is that going to be? Is that going to be in the hallway somewhere? Does it go in the bedroom? Do you stick it in a closet? What do you do with that?
So a fun fact in my house, because of what, in order to make it not all about me, it's literally been my mantra to do what we do, to be able to focus and understand and assess others. You have to let go of self. In order to do that, you have to be able to put your ego in a box. And so literally, the only thing I actually still possess of a trophy of any accolade for my bureau career is right there. My retirement creds right there. Everything else I took a photo of and I threw out.
Wow.
I have nothing.
You need to write that book, like how to declutter your life.
Because who are you keeping it for?
It's true. What matters is what's in here.
Yeah.
His other book, Sizing People Up. He has several, but Sizing People Up, another good one, fairly applicable to this sort of a situation. and behavioral analysis of people. Worth checking out, everybody. Please do check that out. All right, your thoughts. We'll continue this conversation in the comment section. There's no right or wrong to any of this. We are all, as a community, just kind of trying to speculate and figure out where this is all going. Your thoughts in the comment section. Go do that on YouTube or on Substack, hiddenkillers.substack.com or hiddenkillerspod to get in on that and give us your opinion. All right, until next time, for Stacy, for Robin, for Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Someone obviously claimed to have Nancy Guthrie. They sent ransom notes to at least three media outlets demanding $6 million in Bitcoin. They set a deadline. The original one was 5 p.m. on the first Thursday. And then that passed. And then the second one, days later, with language warning that missing it would be far more consequential. They supposedly gave a Bitcoin wallet address. They referenced specific details about Nancy's home that some have interpreted as being things that maybe only they would know. I say that loosely because to me, and I've said this all along, those details, wouldn't be hard to guess. Based on information that's already been out there. Just, it wouldn't be. Apple Watch, floodlight, it's all out there. And then they disappeared. Both deadlines came and went. The wallet, it sits at zero. Not a partial payment, stuck in processing, not a declined transaction, zero. Nobody deposited a dime because nobody came to collect one. The Guthrie family went on camera. Savannah was flanked by her brother and sister and said plainly, this is very valuable to us and we will pay $6 million offered publicly. And the response was silence. Whoever wrote those notes either never had Nancy Guthrie or never had any intention of giving her back. Meanwhile, one of the ransom demands turned out to be exactly what it looked like, a fraud. Dick Kalela, the guy that looks like he's a member of the band Flock of Seagulls in 1986. He's 42. He's from Hawthorne, California. He sent fake Bitcoin texts to Annie Guthrie and her husband using a burner app tied to his personal Gmail account because he's a genius. When agents showed up at his door, he admitted to it, said he'd been watching the news coverage and wanted to see if the family would respond. He's now been charged federally with transmitting a ransom demand and using a telecommunications device to harass. Released on $20,000 bond as well. His next court date is in Tucson. He has nothing to do with Nancy Guthrie's disappearance. He's just a POS. For more than a week, the ransom gave this case a shape, a framework people could hold on to. It was hope. Pay the money, get her back. But as many of us have been saying, it was a false hope. And that framework has since collapsed. Nobody collected. Nobody proved they have Nancy. Nobody walked through the door, the family left wide open. And now that both deadlines have passed with an empty wallet and silence on either end, we have to stop treating the ransom as a story because it isn't. It never has been. The real question is what we're looking at once you strip all that away and what decades of case data tell us about how this kind of thing actually ends. We're going to get into it here. Your thoughts in the comments section on our YouTube channel. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi or go to our Substack and join us there. It's absolutely free. There's no paywall right now. Get access to all of our reporting a day in advance. It's hiddenkillers.substack.com. The link's in the description. Let us know your thoughts there. The red flags and the ransom were there from the start. The notes went to news stations. That should tell you everything right away. It didn't go to the family who could actually pay. It went to news stations. Somebody who wanted attention. Your goal is, hey, I got your mom. I'll give her back. I want money. Part of that equation is not necessarily, let's get as much attention as we possibly can on this. No, it's, I want my money. They're not seeking the spotlight. If you actually want your money, they want as little attention as possible, as little as few eyes on it as possible, because more eyes means more opportunity to be discovered, to figure out who it is, why they're saying what they're saying, where they are, all of that. And sending it to TMZ and a bunch of local stations in Tucson ain't the way to achieve that goal. In a real kidnapping for ransom, the captor contacts the family directly. They establish a communication line. They provide proof of life because they need the family to believe that paying will actually produce a result. None of that happened here. Across three separate video pleas, the Guthrie family publicly said the same thing three different ways. We have not heard directly from whoever claims to have our mother. Three pleas, zero responses to the family. That is not how ransom works. It just isn't. Then there's the language. A retired FBI agent told the New York Post that the note used the term USD, shorthand for US dollars, that an American would be unlikely to write. Yeah. The last time you put USD in anything, unless you were trying to communicate to someone who didn't use USD. The grammar was described by TMZ's Harvey Levin as perfect, structured, and layered. The demand for Bitcoin suggested someone trying to hide behind cryptocurrency's reputation for anonymity. But that reputation is a myth, and anyone capable of planning an abduction of an 84-year-old woman from her home in the middle of the night would presumably know that. Every Bitcoin transaction is recorded on a public blockchain. It's permanent. That's somewhat traceable. But there are ways of doing this without being traced. Demanding Bitcoin from a family with the resources of the Guthries, with the FBI already on the ground, is either reckless beyond comprehension or the act of someone who never planned to collect. The second message sent to KOLD only deepened the problem. It contained what the station's anchor described as sensitive information. Now, take that for what it is worth. From a reporter in Tucson. Sensitive information. But no ransom demand and no deadline. That's not a kidnapper negotiating. That's someone demonstrating access to information. Whether that access comes from involvement, proximity to the crime scene, or just wild guesses at watching television is what investigators have been sitting with. The details that initially gave the note's weight, the Apple Watch location and the floodlight, they're kind of specific, but specific doesn't mean captor. It means someone who had knowledge of the house, maybe inside of the house, and the number of people with that kind of knowledge is a lot smaller than the general public might assume. But at the end of the day, it produced nothing. The FBI issued a public service announcement in December 25, just weeks before Nancy disappeared, warning about the surge in fake ransom schemes targeting high-profile missing persons cases. Virtual kidnapping fraud has existed for two decades, mostly originating from Mexican prisons targeting families of the American Southwest. But the tools have evolved. AI-generated voices, altered images, deepfakes. The December bulletin specifically warned that criminals are now using manipulated proof-of-life media to extort families. High-profile disappearances attract this. The Flock of Seagulls dude kind of proved it. The original notes may have been a more polished version of the same opportunism, or they may have been something more deliberate, an attempt to frame this as a stranger abduction and point investigators in a direction that doesn't lead back to the truth. Either way, every day spent vetting those demands was a day the actual trail got colder. In hindsight, the family's final video before the Monday deadline may be the most telling detail. They stopped asking for proof of life. Savannah simply said, "We received your message and we understand we will pay." That shift was almost certainly FBI coached. Keep your door open. Don't antagonize. Maintain the possibility that someone real is on the other end. You got nothing to lose at that point. The door stayed open and nobody walked through it. So strip the ransom away, and let's look at what's left. Nancy Guthrie is not a statistic. She's a woman who posted on Nextdoor in 2021, asking her neighbors whether she would get a Ring or a Nest camera. What should she get? Because she wanted to watch animal activity outside at night. It wasn't for security. It was what critters on the porch. She plays games with her grandkids. She goes to church at St. Andrew's Presbyterian. And as we've learned, she does it online. She's a person. But we owe it to her, and we owe it to ourselves as an audience that claims to care about this case, to look honestly at what the numbers say. More than 500,000 missing person reports were filed with the National Crime Information Center in 2023 alone. Over 563,000, the vast majority resolve. Around 93% within a year. 76% of missing adults are found within 24 hours. 86% within 48. Nancy has now been missing well beyond those windows. She's deep into the territory where the math turns against you with every passing day. Adult kidnapping for ransom in the United States is so rare that the FBI's Uniform Crime Report doesn't even track it as a separate category. It gets buried under other violent crimes. The data that does exist consistently shows the vast majority of abductions involve someone known to the victim, but if the ransom isn't real, and an empty wallet and two blown deadlines tell us it isn't, then we're not even in an abduction for profit category anymore. Stranger abductions of people over 65 are so uncommon. There's almost no dedicated statistical tracking for them. When elderly Americans go missing, the overwhelming causes are cognitive decline, wandering, dementia-related episodes, and none of that applies here. Her blood was on the porch. The sheriff has said he believes she was taken against her will. Her doorbell camera was disconnected at 1:47 in the morning. Her pacemaker stopped syncing with her devices around 2 a.m. This was not confusion. This was not wandering. This was a deliberate act committed under the cover of darkness against a woman who lives alone on nearly an acre of desert property with no street lights and no sidewalks. Once you remove the ransom and you're left with a deliberate act of violence against an elderly victim with no financial motive materializing, the case profile shifts into a category where the data gets much harder to look at. Past the first week, no suspect, no direct contact, no proof of life. The statistical window narrows considerably. That is the reality of where this case is sitting right now. Now, look at where the investigators are actually spending their time. Officially, there's no suspect, no person of interest, no vehicle confirmed connected to the case. That's the public posture. But the physical footprint of this investigation is telling a different story. Investigators have searched the septic tank behind Nancy's property. They use poles to inspect manholes at the rear of the home. A vehicle was towed from the garage on a Friday night while the FBI processed the scene. Investigators spent nearly 3 hours inside daughter Annie Guthrie's home, the same home where Nancy had dinner the night she vanished and left carrying a brown paper bag, wearing blue gloves. The crime scene at Nancy's house was sealed, then released back to the family, then resealed after a new message surfaced. Retired FBI agent noted publicly that the gap in crime scene control creates a real evidentiary problem. See our video about Chief Nanos, or Sheriff Nanos, and his bumbling line of life. Track record of failure, track record of no faith from the officers below. I mean, my God, it's an abysmal life and career. And he's in charge. Anything found after that gap is harder to introduce because you can't prove it wasn't placed or removed while the scene was uncontrolled. These are not the movements of a task force chasing an unknown assailant across state lines. The search radius isn't expanding, it's contracting. The focus is on the properties, the immediate surroundings, the people closest to Nancy's daily life. You don't search a septic tank chasing a kidnapper who fled across the desert. But you may just search it if you got nothing else to search. Got no other leads. Let's look closer at what we have. The nature of those searches speaks for itself. That doesn't prove anything, and no one has been named as a suspect or person of interest. All individuals connected to this case are presumed innocent until proven otherwise in a court of law. More than 1,000 people sit on Arizona's NAMU's missing persons database right now. Most vanish without a headline. Their families don't have the President of the United States directing federal resources to them. Nancy Guthrie's name carries weight because of who her daughter is. It's not a criticism. The visibility may be exactly what brings answers. But every one of those other names deserves the same urgency, and they're not getting it. The ransom narrative is over. What remains is an 84-year-old woman who went to dinner with her family on a Friday night in January, played games, got dropped off at home, and never made it to church the next morning. Blood on the porch, camera dark by 1:47 a.m., pacemaker silent by 2. Phone, wallet, car, and the heart medication she needs every day to stay alive, all sitting exactly where she left them. Nobody came for the money, nobody proved they have her, and someone, whether it's the person responsible or the person who knows who is, has the answers this family is desperate for. The data says the window for that answer to bring Nancy home is getting smaller by the hour. Your thoughts in the comment section. Let us know on YouTube or on Substack. The links are in the description. I'd love to get your feedback and where you think this is sitting right now. We'll continue that conversation there. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi wherever you get podcasts so you don't miss any of our coverage. Take us with you in audio form on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or iHeart or wherever. Make that search and press subscribe. We'll continue the conversation in the comments. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step 1. Go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com.
Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.